Good morning. First case we argued this morning will be United States versus Ronnie Lard. Mr. Tewitt.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. The appellant contends that the district court judge committed clear error when it imposed a two-level enhancement on the defendant's sentence for reckless endangerment during flight. United States Sentencing Guideline 3C1.2 permits the trial court to enhance a defendant's sentence if the defendant's conduct creates a substantial risk of death or serious bodily injury during flight. The risk is created when the defendant's conduct constitutes a gross deviation from the standard of care that a reasonable person would exercise.
Mr. Tewitt, suppose in flight, instead of throwing this gun with apparently something in the chamber, that's a finding of fact I think we need to defer to, he'd thrown a grenade or he'd thrown a pipe bomb or something into the bushes. Wouldn't you agree that was reckless endangerment?
A grenade with a pin in, I don't think would pose any more risk than was posed in this situation.
Even if you were rummaging, I don't know how easy it is to pull a pin out of a grenade, maybe others do, but rummaging around in the bushes, couldn't you accidentally, if you didn't know what it was, pull a pin out?
Perhaps if the person in pursuit was a citizen who did not have any training or awareness of weapons. In this case, the persons in pursuit were trained law enforcement officers from a number of different jurisdictions and presumably did have the training to recognize a potential risk presented and certainly would recognize a hand grenade. Again, a pipe bomb is just a piece of metal packed with explosive kinds of material that is inert unless they are subjected to fire or some other spark that would cause them to ignite. So,
I thought we generally think of these as dangerous things to be around. If there were a field next to a schoolhouse that had grenades and pipe bombs or landmines or what have you, we would want the children to stay away, right? I mean, it seems like these are dangerous things, and if you plant them in your path as you are rushing away from the police, it's not clear to me why that can't count as reckless endangerment.
Well, I think in your hypothetical, it probably would count next to a schoolhouse. In fact, the Wood decision, I think it's the Wood decision, the Tenth Circuit decision that decided involved an apartment complex. And the defendant in flight during the daylight hours discarded the gun in a well that housed a water valve, just as school children were getting off the bus. In fact, the school children were the ones who alerted the pursuing police officers to the location of the gun. And the Tenth Circuit had no difficulty in finding that presented a substantial risk of serious bodily harm or death, opining what if one of the children, instead of pointing it out to the police officers, had taken and put it in his pocket. But that's not the facts of this case. And I think this court has to look to the facts of each individual case to determine whether the enhancement should apply or not. In some cases, the risk is far more theoretical. In other cases, the risk is much more probable or likely. And I think in those cases, the enhancement should certainly apply. In this case, we contend that the risk is speculative or theoretical. One, it happened at the nighttime. One, it was in a fenced-in enclosure behind a convenience store. And the only persons in the area were law enforcement personnel who had the ability to cordon off the area if need be, if they did not find the weapon during the evening hours, but would have had to resume their search in the following daylight. Could have protected citizens to minimize the risk. Al Meyer, Dean Meyer of the Valparaiso University Law School and first-year contracts used to badger is probably the wrong choice of words, but
well, maybe not.
often query, if there's a difference, what difference does the difference make?
But here, I have a legal question for you, because what I was looking at is the actual language of 3C1.2. It doesn't limit the other person to the pursuing law enforcement officer. It has to be in the course of fleeing from a law enforcement officer.
That's correct.
But this gun that was in the brush, had the law enforcement officers not found it, would have still been sitting there as a danger to anybody else who might have come along. So your reliance on the fact that the law enforcement officers themselves may have had training for weapons may not be legally pertinent to the enhancement.
I think that's a fact that this court must consider in whether, in this instance, the enhancement was appropriate. Certainly, there's no dispute that a loaded firearm, be it a sawed-off rifle as this was, or a hand grenade, or perhaps even a pellet gun, could pose a significant risk of bodily injury to another individual that would come upon it. And in some situations, maybe not even as dramatic as the Brown situation that the Tenth Circuit encountered, certainly discarding a weapon could justify the enhancement. It's our position in this particular case, and you have to, I think you have to take the facts as you find them. This did not present a substantial risk of death or serious bodily injury to another person.
Well, to the other person who happened to find it, although under the facts of this case, that does seem like a bit more luck than good management. You think we're not entitled to take into account the fact that the thing actually did discharge?
I think you can take into account, and that is a troubling aspect of this case. There's no question about that. And given some other circumstances, I think that fact could be dispositive in and of itself. But I think the court has to look to the circumstances of this case, this defendant, as it does this defendant's criminal history and as it does the defendant's history as to whether he's a leader, organizer, manager, or whether he has a minimal role or minor role, or if any of the other enhancements apply, it must be bottomed in the particular facts of that particular case. And construing that as your duty, you may disagree with that, but assuming that is your duty, I think you have to, you are bound by the facts as you find them, and in this case, I don't think even the chambered round, even the fact that it discharged, posed a substantial risk of death or serious bodily injury, again, because the person who found it was a law enforcement officer that presumably could have disposed of it or retrieved it in a safe manner or accounted for the risk and made sure that others would not be in the line of the barrel when he was removing this weapon from the briars.
Of course, the fact that this case, or what we're dealing with, the fact that the gun did discharge when retrieved by someone who we hope had a certain amount of training and was someone who was more astute than just a passerby or a younger person that was curious, the fact that it went off means that it was in an extremely dangerous condition, maybe because of the way it was tangled in the brush or whatever. Fortunately, no one got shot, but had someone just going by seeing it and pulled that gun out of there, it could have been fatal.
That is true. There was a potential if you picked it up by the barrel, it could have harmed the person.
How we picked it up, we don't really know that.
Yeah, we don't. But I mean, thinking of the various ways
you wouldn't point the barrel at you.
No, I would hope not. But
of course, the bullet goes.
Yes.
Wherever it goes, fortunately, it didn't hit anybody.
Yes, that is correct. Any other questions?
Okay.
Thank you.
Lieutenant?
Good morning. May it please the court. We're asking the court, obviously, to affirm the court's ruling on the enhancement for reckless disregard. We think that the conduct of the defendant in this case is clearly within the scope of the guideline section 3C1.2.
What if the safety was engaged?
If
you're running away from police and you toss a gun away and the safety is in place, is that the reckless endangerment during flight?
It could be. You'd need more evidence, I believe, Your Honor, on the record. Evidence as to what might occur with the safety on. Other question would be whether there's a magazine.
You have
whether
to disengage intentionally disengage the safety, I would assume, to have the gun go off. I just want to know where you draw the line here. When discarding a gun during flight would trigger this enhancement?
Well, I think that it's a process of elimination, Your Honor. And first of all, you go back, I believe, to the situation.
I know what happened here, but tell me what could happen that would not trigger the enhancement, in your view.
Well, if it was the same type of weapon.
Well, this is a sawed-off
and
rifle,
if the safety,
so that's pretty dangerous to begin with.
If the safety had been on, then I'm not sure today I could draw the line for you. It would depend on what would happen to the gun when it was discharged with the weapon in that condition. And then that would include the question of whether there was just a magazine in the firearm or if it had been rounded. Assume if the gun was rounded with the safety on, that's a different set of facts than safety on and not rounded. So I'm not sure today the court would, or I'd be able to answer definitively where the line is drawn.
Well, you don't want to argue then for a bright line position that if you toss a gun during a chase, you're subject to this enhancement.
We're not arguing that, Your Honor, and I think that given the definition of reckless conduct, where the court needs to look at it's the nature and the degree of the risk. So right there you have the nature of the risk and the degree. And then the court needs to look at whether if the risk is disregarded, whether the reasonable person, whether that's a gross deviation from the conduct of a reasonable person. So you can come up with many variations of the loaded weapon being discarded. I mean, is it thrown in the Brown case? It was apparently placed in a well or something where children could get to it. In the Lard case, the court was focusing on the danger to the officers, not to the danger that could have been there.
You agree, don't you, that if somebody is being chased by police and he throws a gun away, he's less dangerous to the officers, isn't he?
Well, not necessarily.
I mean, if I was a cop chasing somebody, I'd be a lot happier if they threw the gun away while I was chasing.
Well, I think
they kept it in their hand.
Excuse me. I think the ATF agent who testified and answered a question like that, Your Honor, said that the safe thing would have been for Mr. Large to put the weapon down, even if it had been in that condition, put it down on the sidewalk. Instead, he sees the officers coming, apparently, and he grabs his gun and runs down the hill. So that would have been the safest. The next safest, I suppose, would have been to stand there, you know, not discard it in the condition it was in, safety off and round chambered. Hold it down where the officers know he's not going to do anything with it. There was a dog involved in this chase. I don't know how that might have changed things also.
But in a chase like this, it seems to me it's pretty common if the officers are in pursuit of a person and they see him hurl something off to the side, some officer, perhaps not the one who's the first one in line for the chase, but some other backup officer is going to go see what got thrown away. Sometimes it's drugs, sometimes it's a weapon, sometimes it's evidence of some other kind, but they normally pursue those leads, don't they?
Well, yes, and I believe the record in this case is that the officers knew he had a weapon, and there would have been a presumption, I believe, given the circumstances of robbery, that what was being tossed was the weapon that they had apparently seen when they came, when they approached. Looking at the court's findings, we think that they are clearly proper, that Mr. Large's conduct was clearly within the scope of 3C1.2. When you look at the definition of reckless conduct and the different elements that have to be shown by preponderance, the facts meet all of those elements. If you put aside throwing the gun or just discarding the gun, when you have a gun with the round chambered and the safety off, that was the major concern to the judge. I believe he said it didn't matter how it was thrown, it could have been flipped or something. But with the safety off, that goes to the degree of the risk. And we believe it was here, and we're asking the court to affirm. Are there any other questions from the court?
Okay, fine.
We've rest on our brief, then.
Thank you. About a minute left, and we can see any more.
Unless the court has some specific questions, I have no more formal remarks to make.
Okay, fine. Case we take under advisement.